Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
Revelation 22:12. And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So the title of my message today is Ready for Jesus' Return. I'm sure this message is going to change your life, not because I'm preaching it, but because while I was preparing it, it changed mine. The message is always the same. We are called to preach the gospel, and the gospel is repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's not such a greater news than know that we are called to enter in the kingdom of God. One day, I was reading my Bible, and I came across a word, which is Maranatha, which is found in 1 Corinthians 16:22. And, my English is not my first language, so when I saw that word, I was like, okay, this is definitely no English, there must be something else. I need to go and check what that means. But I didn't have enough time. So I left and said, yeah, I'll do it later. It'll be a while, you know. Then at night, I went to bed. And then I had a dream. So in this dream, there was a bright light. And behind this light, there was a greater, brighter light. There was a very strong feel of warmth and love. Then at the same time, though, you could feel like a very powerful, strong energy coming from this wall of lights. And then suddenly from behind this wall of lights, I heard the word Maranatha. Next day, I woke up, and then, we're all busy, living life. I didn't check again what that meant. So when it comes about stubbornness and, taking your own time, I'm your man. You know, I can do, I have to do things in my own time. Rebecca knows something about it. So again, I go, and I can't exactly remember what I was doing, but I remember that I was driving back home from somewhere, and I was by myself in the car. Then suddenly I felt like almost like a gentle hand moving my head on the right side, and I thought, oh, that's dangerous, isn't it? But then as I moved my head on the right side, there were houses, and one of these houses was called Maranatha. So when you get things three times like this, there might be a sign that you need to pay attention. And you might need to go and do your homework. So I did. And Maranatha is an Aramaic word that means the Lord is coming or Lord come. Or come, O Lord. So once I learned what Maranatha meant, I was in panic. And after recovering from the thoughts of an imminent return of Christ, I started to reflect on time and how we use it. One thing about time is that we all have time available, and it's distributed equally to all of us. What you are and what you become depends on how you invest your time. Amen. What else about time? You can't buy time. You can't stop time. You can't turn back time. Times move forward no matter what. But also there is a different way on how we can use time. So we have time we invest. So to bring value to our efforts like studying or training, we have time we sell for better monies or duty like a job. We have time we waste, which don't bring any benefits to us. We have time we enjoy doing something that we value as important. We have time we use getting ready for something important. So Miles Muro had a quote on time that I like very much, and his time is an interruption into eternity. So it's eternity, 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 time, eternity, eternity, eternity. So when something important is about to happen, people will prepare themselves the best way they can for the occasion or for the event or events. People spend years studying and training for jobs opportunities. People spend years saving for a house. People spend years preparing for sport match or sports finals, like the World Cup or all sort of high-level sports. People plan for months, even years, for birthdays, holidays, and celebration. For something as big as preparing a wedding and planning for retirement to just cleaning the house before the guests arrive. So as you can see, I just listed a few things that show clearly that the human being spend a lot of time preparing and getting ready for things. Jesus has prepared himself as well for his return and for our rewards. Amen. In John 14:1-3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, that you might be also." So Jesus is preparing as well. So my question for you today is, how are we preparing ourselves and other for Jesus' return? In which area are you investing your time to receive the reward Jesus promised? Are we living a life Christ was worth dying for? But I'm just going to share a testimony. I was watching football and my team scored a winner. Okay, so it was the last minutes of the game. So I shouted, I jumped from my seat and I started celebrating. In that moment, I suddenly heard the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, "I wish you were this excited in church and in my presence." Ouch. In that moment, I was in denial, as I was very involved in watching the last few minutes of the game. So I didn't value those words until I turned off the TV. When I did that, you know when you say the silence was very loud? The way it felt, it was like me being in a room and the Holy Spirit sitting to the next sofa, waiting for the attention that I was not giving to him. So I did repent. And as I was repenting, I also learned that that was not a behavior I displayed for the first time. And that was probably what hurt the most. After a few days, I took some more time. And in the quietness, I heard again the Holy Spirit saying, "Lots of men are very loud and excited when watching sports, but very quiet in church in God's presence. Many Christians are committed to watch football or questionable programs, but lack consistency in praying and reading. While watching programs, they have the max concentration, but on Sunday, they get distracted during worship and the preaching. They are distracted by their phone. It's like someone trying to talk to you about something important, but you're not paying attention. We are hearing, but we are not listening. And things are soon forgotten." If you remember the scripture in Matt 13:7 that says, "Some seed fell among the thorn bushes, which grew up and choked the plant." The thorn bushes choked the message of God. This is how powerful we can be to come to church and instead receiving the word of God. We might just, "Well, yeah, I'm hearing something," but we are not listening. So that word falls into your heart and it tries to grow, but then it dies. It doesn't bring any fruit, not because there's no power in the word of God. Not because there's no power in what the preacher spoke about. But it's the power that we all have to blank out God. Amen? Amen. They are here, but not here. Some people only want something, and when they receive it, they don't come back to glorify God. And I won't go into details, but you might know someone waiting for a prayer. God, do this, go do this. Give me the job, give me the spouse, give me whatever. And then, boom, they're not to church anymore. What are they? The very thing that they wanted and that they received was the very thing that put them away from God. So in that moment, I realized how much God wants our attention and how he desires for us to be delighted in him. That was his heart. I became complacent. My fall and struggle were the result of my bad choices. I was not satisfied with my Christian walk, but I was not willing to be disturbed while doing my things, justifying myself by saying that it was okay to be tired. I remember having dreams. I remember having words. And I forgot about those things because I didn't write it down or I didn't meditate on it. It felt like God was trying to talk to me, but I was too busy worrying about all things Jesus said he would already provide. I wanted to be used without paying the price. Amen? And I don't know if any of you felt that, but there's a price to pay.
Yes, there is.
Then I don't know how I end up hearing a guy say, "Christians are like whales." And I started watching this video, and as I was saying before, it's really weird because I don't even know how I end up into it, but I felt that the Holy Spirit leading me into it. And so, do you know how whales die? They drown. They spend their life living in, swimming in, a world that eventually kills them. And you know why that is? Because whales are mammals. So, like most of the mammals, they walk the face of the earth. But the whale lives in a world they are not of. They live in water, but they are not of the water. Other fish can swim for their entire lives while breathing in the water, but the whale have to come out the water. There is a life source whale depends on that is not in the water. You are in this world, but you're not of this world. Your spiritual being needs God. And that's why I felt like I was drowning. That is why it's never enough how much people try to ease their pain with drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography, food. It's never enough. They try everything, but doesn't work. And when it does, it's just for a short period of time. Deep inside, they know. Destruction only leads to more destruction. The answer is Jesus. Amen. There is two types of prison. That's God prison, and is the one that I call our prison. God prison is where people end up in this place for the love of God, for their obedience. And like Paul and Silas, God will make miracles, will bring salvation, and his power will be manifest. But there are also physical and spiritual prisons. There are the consequences of our action and our choices against God. And in all of this, God's still with us. So I'm going to share with you a story. A pastor called John Bevere received a phone call from his assistant and was asked to go and visit a pastor. This pastor had a massive worldwide ministry, but he committed many crimes and he was sentenced to 45 years in prison. So it's quite a big deal. This pastor called Jim, I won't go into details because I don't feel the need, but it's a real story. On his fourth year in prison, read the book from John Bevere, and he asked him to just go and visit him. So he accepted. When John arrived, he saw Jim wearing his prison clothing. So Jim looked in the eye of John, grab his shoulder, and the first thing that he says is, this prison wasn't God's judgment on my life. It was his mercy. He carry on. John, if I was keeping the life I did, I would end up in hell forever. So I'm so grateful to God. So 20 minutes into the conversation, and John Bevere asks, so Jim, if you don't mind me ask you, when did you fall out of love for Jesus? And Jim very seriously answered, I didn't. So John said, Jim, you committed adultery, you were arrested, you were prosecuted in 1990, and you are telling me that in all those years, you loved Jesus. And Jim answered, I loved him all the way through, John. So at this point, John got confused because he can't fully understand what's going on. And Jim replied, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. But I didn't fear God. And there is millions of Christians just like me. They love Jesus, but they don't fear God. There is no fire where there is no sacrifice on the altar. The sacrifice is not what is convenient, it's not sometimes what we want, it's sometimes what we don't want to bring. It might be something painful or something tiring to do. It's to give up something you care or you enjoy. It could be a job, it could be giving up on a relationship. It's removing what keeps us from becoming a living sacrifice for God. Amen. We bring the sacrifice because we became the living sacrifice. Amen? And this is something that, if you open Genesis, is almost straight at the beginning of it. You go Abel and you go Cain. God says, bring me a sacrifice. Abel, bring the sacrifice. God was pleased. Cain, bring the sacrifice. He wasn't pleased. So, just by this, it means that God specifically said what he wanted it. Okay? But even when Cain didn't bring that sacrifice and God was not pleased, he said, Cain, just bring me. I'm paraphrasing, sorry. Cain, please, just bring me what I asked you so that I can be pleased with you as I'm pleased with Abel. And instead, what he does, he killed his brother. He was not willing to pay the price. At Pentecost, lives were changed because people became the sacrifice. The fire came down and history was changed. Today, the fire of God can do the same for you if you're willing to recognize and repent about those things, about those behavior that are keeping you away from experiencing God. You are created to be on fire, and it's completely unnatural for a Christian to not be dependent on God. Amen. You are made to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Yes. But either we can choose to live like we are going to die, or live like we are dead already to ourselves. In Matthew 16:25-8, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet to forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is coming. Sorry, he's going to come in his Father's glory with his angel. And then he will reward each person according to what they have done. So, when we see the scriptures, we see Jesus is coming back. It doesn't matter what other people believe. That's what he says. And as we are approaching this hour, it's very important how we decide to live our lives and use our time. Because what you think is very relevant right here, it might not be very relevant in the eye of eternity. The time that is being taken away from you doing something that God has not called you to do, it might have the impact for you not to do what actually creates obedience for the eternal reward to be given to you when you enter the kingdom of heaven. Choices. Free will. We don't seem to fully understand, and I'm saying this because I'm part of these people. I was one of these people until I started preparing this message. We Christians, okay, don't fully understand, I believe, what hell looks like. Because if we will have a full understanding of how hell looks like, I think something would rise up inside of us that will lead us to be slightly bold when it comes to preach the gospel, to share about Jesus, and not to be ashamed to be called, oh, that's the Christian boy. Oh, that's the Christian girl. Oh, yeah, he's Christian. It's not relevant. Because this is just for a time. And if you think sometime, oh, this is a long time, well, think about what eternity looks like. So I don't have time to think if people likes me or not. Because all I care about is about knowing that Jesus loves me. I wasn't brought up Christian. I done all sort of things. Name it. I done it. I can write down a book of things or not to do. That's my expertise. I was not willing to give up anything for Jesus. Okay? It was almost, oh, yeah, but I have to stop smoking. Oh, I have to stop drinking. Oh, I have to stop doing this. Oh, I have to stop doing that. That was at the beginning. When you actually experience the love of Jesus, and He's real.
Come on.
He's real, guys. There's nothing that you're not willing to give up for Him. It's like that. It's like the person that you love, all right? I love Rebecca so much that if I see that something I do somehow upset her, it's my desire to remove it because I want her to be happy. Amen? Is he right? Is he fair?
Amen.
That's called love. About hell, I just want to touch on it because I know time is short, but please, this is good time. It's time that we are investing.
Amen.
About hell, you all know the story in Luke 16, 19, 31. The rich man and Lazarus, okay? I just need to, again, go very quickly. You got Lazarus, a poor guy, didn't have nothing. You have the rich man, had everything in life. They both die. Lazarus goes in heaven where Abraham is. The rich man go to hell. This is how, in that place, in that environment, he called Abraham and says, so he called to him, Father Abraham, Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I'm in agony in this fire. So, few points on hell, okay? It's a space of isolation. This guy is isolated. He can feel everything. His body can feel everything. His mind is still functioning. He has an understanding of why he's there. And what happened? He called and asked Abraham. The answer is, I can't come to you. You can't come to me. Because there's a barrier. There's a chasm. So that's it. In that moment, he realized there's no way out of here. There's no way out. So what he does, say, but please, can you send Lazarus to my family? Send him to my family so that they will not end up in here like me. It's the guy is thinking. The brain is functioning. But church, you need to understand that. You know, that place has never been made for human being. That was for Satan and his angel. Hell is such a horrible place that God has to send his son to die on the cross as payment for our transgression. Hell is such a bad place that Jesus left his majestic and royal position in heaven to come on earth for you and for me. Now, if I can please have the illustration, please. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Okay, so When Christian, you know, we talk about the crucifixion. It was absolutely horrible. It was a torture. It was painful. But before that, Jesus was tortured. So I managed to do a study on what kind of weapon was used by the Roman to chastise Jesus. And this is one of the most accurate results you will find on the internet. So, scourging was a Roman torture to extract information. Most people would die during the scourging or quickly after as the wound become infected. The level of damage on the body by the flagrum caused skin and muscle to be teared apart, often exposing the ribs bone. The flagrum was built to last with thick, strong leather stripes with metal bones or glass attached to the end of it. The flagrum had between 3 and 12 different stripes with different length, so that when you were hitting the target, those things, they were not hitting each other, they were all going on the target. You can just imagine the level of damage that it was doing. Jesus had a Roman soldier on each side, scourging him. And historians seem to believe that it was about between 35 and 38 times. So look at that thing. Look at the end. You can see almost, can I see the next picture, please? Can you see that kind of thing at the end? That metal at the end? Can you imagine that thing hitting the flesh, getting to the flesh, and having two demon-possessed soldier striking Jesus with all strength they have in their body? That's the price that's been paid for us. That's the price that has been paid for us. And that's why I said to you, this message has changed my life, because I never... by his stripes we're healed. Okay. Yeah, go... Give a look at this picture. And when you go and play with your mind, and you think like, that was for me, that was for everything that I done wrong, so that I just can be reconciled, so that I can just have a relationship with Jesus, that takes a different value on how you invest your time, or how you value what is important, or when you look over, or you maybe want someone to approve your life. I don't need that. I don't need that. This was the price paid for our transgression. But remember, no sin is too big to be forgiven. Why? Because he did. He went through this. There is no sickness, there's no disease, there's no infirmity that can't be healed. Why? Because of this. There's no addiction, there's no demon too strong. Because of this.
Amen.
This is how much you are worth for Jesus, and how much he wants you. And it doesn't matter if you believe in Christ today or not. He's done it for you so that you can come. He's calling and he says, you can come to me, not because you deserve it, but because that's what I did for you. Amen? In John 10:18, he says, no one take it from me, but I decided to lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I received from the Father. See, he could have said, I tell you what, this is getting too intense. It's too much. But no, he knew what hell would look like. And he said, no, I'm going to do this so that we can walk in the freedom, so that we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can be healed, so that we can be renewed. Jesus didn't give up on you. Don't give up on him. Sometimes there's things that enter in our lives. It doesn't matter how many years you've been a Christian. Pride is just something around the corner ready to come in. And I remember I was sitting and the Holy Spirit led me to watch a preaching. Now, if you're not a Christian, I do appreciate that you think like, oh, how does this guy hear or anything? But that's also part of what Jesus died. That's the reality of things. Either you think that I got mental health or that I don't know. But I can guarantee you that this is very real. It is very real.
Amen.
So, And the Holy Spirit say, Mario, go and check this preaching about refinement, about the, how the gold is refined. And if you've been in church long enough, you probably at least, you heard about it about at least 15 times. So that's the thing that you see and you just want to skip. So that's what I wanted to do. But Lord, look, that's this about deliverance. It's about healing. It's about your return. It's about all these things, you know? I was like, So as previous experiences, I learned obedience, okay? So I start watching this preaching by John Bevere, that I call it Uncle John because he doesn't have a clue who I am. But I follow so much this guy that, that I call it Uncle John. So once my pride was out of the way, then I start watching this preaching again. And, you know, a little bit. I got some... I'm not the easiest of character, okay? So I start watching this this preaching. And I was like, uh-huh, I know. Then he says something. Ooh, I didn't know. So the Holy Spirit is teaching. He's teaching me that it doesn't matter how many times you heard the same thing all over and over again. There's a different debt. Yes. There is a different debt. So what I learned, I share with you. Maybe you already know it, but I didn't. That you all know that part, you know, gold get through very high temperature. Try to make it as easy as possible. And then when the temperature is so high, then the dirt is exposed, the impurity. And that is scooped out so the gold become pure. Okay? What I didn't know is that gold become transparent. And what I also didn't know is that at that stage, gold, when all the metals, all the impurity are removed, become malleable. And that's exactly what Jesus does with us when we get through the season of suffering, we get through those season of fire. The fire. Things are exposed. Things are removed. And we become more transparent. Also, one thing that he shared about gold is that in the new in the Revelation, you know, there's not going to be any moon. There's not going to be any sun. But it will be just the glory of God creating lights. And by his glory, this glory will actually reflect on this city of gold, which is transparent, but also reflect his glory. So what's the point? The point is that when impurity are removed, God will be able to manifest himself to other people. People will be able to see God in us in a different way. But also we will be able to be shaped by God to fit our purpose. Amen. Right, we're almost there, okay? There's another story about a mighty man of God that has been a blessing in my life, and is Reinhard Bonnke. One day, Reinhard Bonnke was preparing for a meeting, and the keyboard broke. So they tried to repair it, but didn't work. So Reinhard took his music minister, and he said, oh, let's go, let's buy a new one. It was lunchtime when they arrived to this big shop in the city. And as they arrived, there was like this salesman outside, just smoking a cigarette, didn't really pay much attention to that walking in. So what they done, they literally went at the back of the shop, and Reinhard started to try some keyboards. As he was playing these keyboards, suddenly this salesman appeared in front of him, stared at him, and he was terrified. He was bloodless. So obviously, like Reinhard Bonnke looked at him, was like, what's going on? And the salesman said, sir, I can see Jesus in your eyes. So revival broke, people were saved.
Hallelujah.
And then Reinhard Bonnke, as a man of prayer, he was, he went back home and he inquired. Say, Lord, how is this possible? How is this possible? And he said, the Holy Spirit replied. He said, Jesus lives in your heart, but sometimes he likes to look outside the window. What a powerful testimony. Can I have the band back? Is he blessing you?
Yes.
I know. I'm trying to keep it as, you know. God grace, eh? So usually you have PowerPoints. I don't have any, because the points is only one. Jesus suffered and died for you, and for me, and for all the people around us. Let's give him the love and the reverence.
Yes. Yes.
What's keeping you from progressing is the fear of God. And that is a topic in himself. The reason why we don't go to the next stage is because God is still teaching us the basics. But he paid the price. You saw the picture. He paid the price. And he's coming back. So let's be ready. We are wanted. We are loved. We are empowered. We are sent. So let's make the difference. We say every week, you know, get out as your mission field and preach the gospel. You had a card on your seat. So the mission is this week, get that card. Preach the gospel, invite someone to church. That price that was paid, that place that I described, is worth for you to be bold enough to take a chance. Because we are not called to be fearful. Now is the right time. Now is the right time. Jesus was not ashamed of you or your sins, am I? Don't be ashamed of him. Now, Holy Spirit, I thank you. Thank you for your presence, because I can feel his presence. Can anyone else feel it? Is it just my heart burning, or? So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now is the right time to make that decision. He was scourged publicly so you could embrace him publicly. Life is just a vapor. And we can't change things once our time is up. It's going to be either rewards or punishment. We decide that. So I beg you, be brave, make that decision. I can promise you, as other people in the room, that will be the best decision you will ever make. Because it was the best decision I ever made. And when Jesus came, in your brokenness, and it just start show you love at first, because we are too even fragile to be repaired. All it does is just come. I just want to love on you. Right now I don't care what you do wrong. You know, church, when I got saved, and that's something that it will be with me for life. I was blaspheming God the same day. I was smoking cigarette before, literally 5 minutes before walking into this church. I was angry. I had many issues. My father was there, but he wasn't there. So as you do, you spend more time outside the house. And then you get impacted by what you think is normal. So I start to behave like what normality was for me. And you know what the sadness about it is? That you get used to it. You get used to get angry. You get used to rely on drugs. You get used to rely on alcohol. You start looking at women in a way that is not godly, because God gives values on people. Society doesn't. For some people, it's just a number. For other people, it's just a one night out. And when it comes about taking responsibilities, though, boom, where are they? That's why we have a broken society. That's why we have children that grow up without father, single mom. And I know about single mom because my mom had three of us. I remember her walking in the snow with holes in her boots in the winter because we didn't have enough money. And she was rather buy some shoes for us than get her feet all soggy and cold. But then I always said, Lord, that there must be something. There must be something. Everything is too perfect to be just casual. And you know what's the problem with society? That when they told you, you know, that it's the Big Bang, what's the problem with the Big Bang? Is that it make you think that you are a casual, you're just casual. You don't have a destiny. You should not be here. It just kind of happened. But it's different. Because first of all, nothing can create everything. All right? Nothing can create everything. But also it's the value that God put upon us. And he says, child, I have a purpose. And it's not just for this time. You're going to be with me for eternity. So if today you accept Jesus, all I ask you to do is to raise your hand, and I want you to be brave. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Is anyone else? That's how precious you are. That's the price that he paid. For you not to be eternally separated from him, and for him to show himself to you so that you can start a journey where you start to know him, who he is. Anyone else? I'm not going to get... No? Anyone else? Praise God. Bless you. I'm grateful for your life.
Hallelujah.
Okay. So if you all stand now. Fine. Now. God is not done. Time is up. I'm going to pass to Pastor Tony. But before I do that, now it's business time for us Christian now. That's business time. If you know Jesus, but there is something between you and him, and you know you need to bring it to the altar, now is the right time. Come. If you need to repent, come to the altar now. Humble before God. Now is the right time. He's not angry with you. He wants to reconnect with you. If you need healing, if you need deliverance, or if you just need to embrace Jesus again, because you walk away, present yourself at his feet. He's inviting you to the altar. And remember, the fire comes when the sacrifice is ready. Right, this is, if you need the fear of God, then today I trust for the Holy Spirit to impart the very neglected topic that is keeping people to walk in the power of the Spirit. If you need the fire of God, if you want the gift of tongue, Just come forward. Now is the right time. There's only one name, and the name is Jesus. And it's the name above all names.